Let's just turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark in the chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to break into the chapter at the verse 21. And we'll read down to the verse 25. And we'll read down to the verse 34, please. Mark chapter 5 and the verse 25. The Word of God says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague.'" And we'll end at verse 34, knowing that God will bless this reading of his word to our hearts this evening. I want to speak to you this evening on the theme of, or the title, I suppose, is Touching Jesus. Touching Jesus. Since the start of this year, we have heard much about the COVID-19 virus. We have had it on our television screens pretty much nearly every day, and it was being talked about at the start of the year. There was the threat of it, but really from maybe March time on, it really started to manifest itself in the United Kingdom in a greater way. And I was looking this afternoon, and according to the statistics this afternoon, it has claimed almost 49,000 lives in the United Kingdom alone, and approximately 1.25 million worldwide, and that's up to and including this afternoon. There's no question that it's a serious thing. There's no question that it has caused fear. It has caused panic. It's caused uncertainty. Governments don't know really what way to turn at times. Society is trying to work out how to deal with it and are grappling with all of the different implications of how they might deal with it. We've had national lockdowns. We've had partial lockdown. We're in a partial lockdown now. There's been different guidance issued. There's been regulation on how we meet. We can see that. On wearing face coverings, you can see that on your way in and on your way out. Unnecessary travel has been identified as something that we should be careful about. And the list just goes on. And it's hard sometimes to keep track of it all and to know exactly what we should or what we shouldn't do. And as you're probably aware, in our own home yesterday, for a short period of time, less than 24 hours, it impacted upon normal life. The possibility of a positive test brought temporary isolation. And there was certainly, and I don't want to downplay this, but there was certainly a little bit of panic on my part when it fell to me last night to cook the dinner. Because I was in real diffs. In fact, there were video calls and everything going on. And I started to wonder, what's going to happen if I have to do this for 2 weeks? Will we survive? Or what's going to go on with this? But the reality of it is, setting that aside, the illness has the potential to alter people's lives in many different ways. It has the potential to impact our lives in so many different facets of life. It has an impact upon society as a whole. And for many people, it might not be a positive change. And there's no question about that. But you know, when we come to this passage of Scripture that we've read this evening, we see a woman who has had a life-changing experience. We see a woman here whose experience, however, is not the experience that is happening for many people at the minute with COVID. It's actually the opposite. Because this is a woman whose experience, she had a serious condition. But Jesus made a change. Jesus stepped in. This morning, And I tuned in this morning. Our brother Morris spoke to the church about an encounter with God. And what a challenge that ought to be to our own hearts. That relationship that we ought to have with Him and seeking to live for Him. But if the thought this morning for the church was about an encounter with God, well, the thought this evening that I want us to think about is this sick woman's encounter with Jesus. You see, she had an encounter with Jesus. The Lord Jesus healed many people during His earthly ministry. When you read through the Gospels and you see the different people that He healed, the different people that he interacted with. People came from far and wide to receive healing, and this woman was just one of them. And the story of her encounter with Jesus actually comes in the middle of another story. The Lord Jesus is on His way to heal a young girl. We know her as Jairus' daughter. This young girl has been taken grievously ill. And her father, Jairus, has come and he's sought for Jesus. And he's come and he has asked Jesus to come with him and to heal his daughter. Now, Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. He was an important man in society. When he came to meet with Jesus, when he came to seek the Lord Jesus to come and heal his daughter's life, he didn't come and stand and meet Jesus in a sense as an equal. He came, and it tells us that he fell at the feet of Jesus and besought Him greatly. Why did he do that? Well, he did that because he realized that the Lord Jesus was the one who had the power to heal his daughter. He realized that Jesus had power to heal. So the Lord Jesus Christ is on His way to this man's home. He's on His way to heal Jairus' daughter. And as He's on His way, this incident that we have read takes place. Just as we think about it, there's a contrast that we see between the two situations. Because we have this ruler and this woman who had the issue of blood. He was deemed to be important in society. He was a ruler in the synagogue. He was a religious man. But this woman, because of her ailment, she had no place in the synagogue. She would have been considered to be a nobody. She wouldn't have been permitted to enter the synagogue. The young girl that Jesus was going to heal, she was 12 years old. This woman had suffered for 12 years with this condition. The young girl's need was very public because Jairus had come and had fallen at Jesus' feet. And he had made this public appeal to the Lord Jesus, while this woman comes privately. There's a contrast here. What does that tell us? It tells us this. It tells us that people from all walks of life need Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us. All walks of life. It doesn't matter who you are tonight. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter who your family are. It doesn't matter about any of those things. People need Jesus Christ. Jesus is willing to save. Jesus is willing to work in every life. I want to think about this incident this evening just now. I want you to notice, first of all, the tragedy. Look with me at verse 25 and verse 26. We read here, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. It's a tragic story. When we read about this woman, and we read about her condition, and we read about all of the circumstances surrounding it, it's certainly tragic. We see the presence of disease. Do you see here the woman's condition? She had an issue of blood. 12 years. She's been diagnosed with this problem. She knows what the problem is. She's got a diagnosis. She had effectively what it was an internal hemorrhage, which was causing her great distress. This was something that was an ongoing problem for this woman. It affected her life. It affected every part of her life. In fact, as we've said, due to the Jewish ceremonial laws, she would have been unable to enter the temple. She had no place in entering the temple. She was ceremonially unclean. This woman was essentially expected to self-isolate. That's what she was to do. She was expected to stay away from the temple. She had no place there in society. Do you know, over in Acts chapter 3, we read about the lame man. And the lame man sat outside the beautiful gate of the temple in Jerusalem. And Peter and John are coming along at the ninth hour, and they're going there to pray. And this man sitting outside the temple, he'd been lame from birth. And as he sat outside the temple at the beautiful gate, he was sitting there asking for alms. And he was sitting at that gate because that was the gate where the cream of the crop, as it were, the wealthy and the esteemed in society and the elite, that's the gate they went in. That's how they entered the temple. That was the best place to go if you were going to ask for alms. That man had never been in the temple at all. He'd been lame since birth. He couldn't enter the temple. We think about that man. We think about this woman. And that was her possible future. Because as you read down through the passage, you'll find that that woman had spent all seeking for cure, seeking for healing. Her possible future was sitting, not at that same gate because it's a different city, but sitting at the gate of the temple or sitting along the side of the road asking for alms, begging. She had this disease and it impacted upon her life. Do you know the Bible diagnoses every one of us with a dreadful condition. Diagnoses us all with a condition, and it's called sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone, all that are born. Sin separates us from God. Sin has an eternal impact if it's not dealt with. It separates man from God. We're all born with it. And of ourselves, there's nothing that we can do. Not a thing. Maybe you think to yourself this evening, well, that's all right for him saying that, but I'm not so bad. I'll be all right. I don't need to listen to this because I'll be fine. I don't do anybody any harm. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing there, and he says, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. Doesn't matter how good you might think you are. In the eyes of God, outside of Christ, because of your nature, you're a sinner. Do you know sin is the only disease with a 100% positive diagnosis? People are going for COVID tests. Some are getting positive results. Some are getting negative. That's what's happening. But with sin, it's a 100% positive diagnosis. You see the presence of disease. Do you see the pain of despair? It tells us how this woman had tried many doctors to find relief. It says in verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians. What's that telling us? It tells us that she's gone from place to place and she's sought for some relief. She's sought for a cure and she's tried everything and anything that they had said to her in order to try and provide some relief. She'd suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. There's no help for her. Over in Luke's account of this incident in Luke chapter 8 and verse 43, Luke says there, neither could she be healed of any. There was none who could help her. There was no cure. Humanly speaking, her condition was unable to be dealt with. Do you know, again, can we see the parallel? There's a parallel between this woman's condition and the sin condition, the sin problem which affects the human race, because this woman has tried many things. She's tried everything and anything that people will say to her. And you know, today, there's people will try all sorts of ways in order to reach heaven. They'll pay penance. They'll do good works. They'll try to work their way by doing good. They'll try to pay their way by giving much. They'll try to deny their need by living as if there's no God, living as if there's no eternity, pretending that after death, that's just it. There's many people living like that. Sometimes we see on the news or we see on social media perhaps where people are so vehemently opposed to the idea that there's a God. They're so vehemently opposed to the idea that there's a heaven or there's a hell. And really they're deluding themselves. But you know, the devil is the God of this world. He will certainly encourage that mindset. He will certainly encourage people to think that there's no life after death, that there's no eternal living in any shape or form. The Apostle Paul tells us about that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, where he says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why has he blinded their minds? Why does he blind the minds of those who don't believe? Here's why. lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine onto them. He blinds your mind so you won't see Christ. And you won't see hope. And you won't see God in any shape or form. You'll deny Him. None of the options that man can try will deal with sin. And it's sin that keeps man out of God's heaven. Is your sin going to keep you out of heaven? Tonight, as you sit in your seat, and maybe you're here and you've heard the gospel time and time again, are you going to continue in your sin? It's sin that separates man from God. God is a holy God who cannot look upon sin, who cannot condone sin, who cannot brush sin under the carpet. He has to deal with sin, and the only way he could deal with sin was by judging it. And therefore his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has left heaven, come to this earth, and there upon the cross of Calvary, there as he suffered and he bled and he died, there he took the judgment, the punishment, the wrath of God for your sin and my sin poured out upon him. You're going to reject it? Try many things. There's nothing in this life that will satisfy. You see the presence of disease. We see the pain of disparity. You see the pressure of deception. Look with me here at verse 26. It says, "And had spent all that she had." It tells us she had spent all. She's gone from doctor to doctor, from physician to physician, from person to person. She's maybe taken advice, we don't know, from other people who said, you should go and see this one, or you should go and see this one. They might be able to help you. I heard that this such and such a person who lives in this village over here, and they try all different sorts of alternative things, and maybe they'll be able to help you. And she's tried all of these different things, and she's spent all that she had. She would pay whatever was asked to try and get relief from her condition. And now the Bible tells us that she spent all. She's broke. Nothing left. Nothing left. But when we think about it, isn't it true that to an extent, if we find ourselves in her shoes, that we would do the same? Humanly speaking. If our health, people talk about our health, and if we have our health, we have so much, and that is the case. And we value our health, and we would spend what we could, what we have, in order to maintain it. We're talking about physical health here. And this woman, she had done that. She was in a dreadful situation because of poor health. Her money was gone. Her health was gone. But you know, until Jesus came past, her hope was gone. She tried everything and she had no hope. Maybe you're in this place this evening where you've tried many things to find peace. Maybe you've tried so many different things, and people have tried lots of things in life. People have sought for peace in the bottom of a bottle. People have sought for peace through drugs. People have sought for peace through so many different things, whether it's gambling or whatever it is. They've tried so many things in this life, and they think, if I can just get the big win, all my worries are gone. If I can just get to the bottom of this bottle, I'll not need to think about these things. If I can just get off onto a high for a while, I won't be worrying about all of these things. If I can just forget about the pressures of life just for a moment, I'll have some peace. But it's only temporary. Hymn writer put it like this. He said, "I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled." And people are trying to find peace in so many different places. And really, at the end of it all, just like this woman, it's deception. You feel as though you've no hope. Friend, listening this evening, can I say to you, that is the dreadful condition which sin brings to those outside of Christ. Without hope. Without hope. Are you without hope tonight? You're in your sin. If you haven't trusted in Christ, I have to say to you, as the Word of God is before me here, and if I want to be a faithful preacher of the Word of God, I have to tell you, if you don't have Christ, you have no hope. You have no hope for eternity. You might think you've got many things in this life, but without Christ, you've got nothing for eternity. There's many false ideas. There's many false religions, but there's only one hope. There's only one way of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said it himself, John 14 and verse 6, speaking to his disciples, and they're talking about heaven actually, but Thomas said, how can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus Christ responding to Thomas, one of his disciples, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ tells us himself, he's the way. He's the way of salvation. He's the truth. He's the life. And there's no other way. And that means there's no other hope without Christ. We see the tragedy here, but I want you to notice secondly the touch. Look at verse 27. It says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. This woman heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. She heard that he was there. Now, bear in mind that this was a woman who'd perhaps heard many things over the years, over these 12 years when she'd been ill. She'd suffered many things of many physicians. She'd tried many different options. She'd heard time and time again about go to this one or go to that one. And now she's heard of Jesus. And she's come to where he is. She's come to see if there's a chance, if there's hope. She's looking for healing. She's come to Jesus. The Lord Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. And as he's on his way, there's this great crowd that's gathered around him. It tells us in verse 27, she heard of Jesus and came in the press behind. That word press speaks about the crowd. There's this crowd pressing in around him. And as he's going through that crowd, think about this just for a moment, folks. As he's pressing his way through the crowd on his way to Jairus' house, there's many people touching him. There's many people who are brushing alongside him. There's many people as he's pressing his way through the crowd who are against him. But there's one, and it's this woman. And she is believing that if she reaches out in faith, that Jesus would heal her. She's reaching out in faith, just touching the hem of his garment. She's reached down to the hem of his garment and she's reached out by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is her hope. You see, suddenly there's hope in front of her. Right there. She's heard about this Jesus who's a healer. She needs healing. And there he is. And he's right in front of her. And yes, there's a crowd pressed around him, but he's still there. And he's right there. And all she wants to do is just reach out and touch him. Believing. What faith this woman showed. Oh, that we all had faith like that. Do you know what it tells us in verse 29? It tells us, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. Straightway, immediately, she reached out and she touched him by faith. At this point, Jesus hadn't even turned around and spoken to her, but she was healed by faith. What a wonderful picture we have here of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and he came with a purpose in mind, and that was to deal with the sin problem. The Bible tells us Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came here to save you and to save me. He went to the cross to save you and to save me. He came to where we are to save us. Just like he came to where this woman was and she was healed, he can heal you. Yet this evening, maybe on the other side of the coin, maybe you're one of those people who thinks, I'm beyond redemption. I'm beyond hope. I haven't a chance here. Do you know, if you think that, and as you think you're without hope, and you think that Jesus wouldn't save you, let me tell you something. Jesus would save you. This woman, as far as society was concerned, was without hope. She was considered to be unclean. She wasn't allowed into the temple, but Jesus healed her. Jesus saved her. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Lord Jesus Christ can save you. But if you won't come to him, you're in danger. You're in danger of eternal punishment. You're in danger of eternal separation from God because of your sin. Let me say to you tonight, you simply just need to reach out to Jesus. Just reach out to him. It tells us here that she touched his garment. And she was healed. As we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think about how he left heaven, and he came from heaven to earth, He did that so that we might have peace with God, so that we would be able to go eventually, someday, from earth to heaven to be with him. But there's only one way to do that. There's only one way to obtain this access, and that's to have sin dealt with. But the Lord Jesus Christ has already dealt with sin. He's already done it for you. He's already paid the price for your sin. All you have to do is reach out and take it. Will you not simply reach out to him this evening? Just reach out and take of what God has offered through his Son. Tell him that you're sorry for your sin. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Because you know what? You don't need to talk to a pastor. You don't need to talk to a preacher. You don't need to talk to anybody else about this. You just need to get right with God. And you can do that tonight before this meeting's over. You can do that right now while you're sitting in your pew. You can get right with God by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved right where you are. This woman was in the middle of a crowd of people, and not one other person knew that she had reached out and touched Jesus. And you can do that. You can do that right where you are. You see the tragedy and you see the touch, but I want you to see the transformation. Look with me at verse 30. And it says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" She's confronted. This woman's been confronted now. What a question to ask her. This woman who's come and she's reached out in the crowd and she's just touched the Savior's garment. And these people crowding around him and pressing against him in the crowd, and he asks the question. And do you know, even his disciples, when you read verse 31, they're looking at the Lord Jesus and they're saying, "What's going on here? Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" They're looking at Jesus and they're thinking, what sort of questions that they ask? But Jesus knew who had touched him. He wasn't asking because he didn't know. He knew who had touched him. It says, "And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing." In other words, when you put that into the literal language and look at it, the Lord Jesus fixed his eyes upon her. She had met Jesus. Jesus knew her. Jesus knew that it was her who had touched him. And this was a leading question that he was asking here. You see, salvation is something that, while it's personal, it's something that should be evidenced in witness and in the change of a life. And this woman has been healed, and she's been healed there, and straight away she's been healed. Jesus has healed her, but the Lord Jesus Christ wants to draw the crowd's attention to that fact. So he asks the question. You're here this evening. You've been confronted with the gospel message tonight as you've listened. You can't walk away and say, "I've never heard the gospel." You can't come before God. Even if you haven't heard the gospel before, you've heard tonight that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You've heard tonight that Christ died for you. You can't come before God now and say, "I never heard. No one told me." Because you've heard the gospel. You've been confronted as you've listened. And you can have your sin to be dealt with. But are you prepared to take that step of faith? Are you prepared to reach out and take of God's offer of mercy through Jesus Christ? This woman was confronted. I want you to see that she confessed. It says in verse 33, "The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." So she recognized the Lord Jesus Christ for what he had done. She acknowledged Christ in what he had done. And she told him everything. She told him all the truth. She didn't leave anything out. This woman came, and what's actually happening here is she has come along and she said to Jesus, she said, "I've been ill. I've had this problem for 12 years. And I'm telling you now that I heard about you, and I came and I believed that if I just touched the hem of your garment that you would heal me. And you did it." What a public testimony that is. She's told the whole story, the whole truth. And as she has done that, and there's this wonderful public confession of what Christ has done in her life, everybody heard it. The disciples heard it. The disciples who were standing there looking at Jesus saying, "What sort of questions ought to ask?" They heard what had happened. The people in the crowd heard it as they were pressing around. And they have heard this testimony of how Jesus has healed her. Do you know who else heard it? Jairus heard it. As he was there and as he was bringing the Lord Jesus Christ to his house to heal his daughter. And here was a wonderful evidence for Jairus of the power of Jesus Christ. Everybody heard it. Everybody knew the difference in this woman because of what Christ had done. Friend, I want to ask you this evening, will you come to Jesus? Will you bow your heart to him? You give your life to him. Because he's the one who can save you. He's the one who can deal with your sin problem. He's the one who can deliver you from your sin problem. And when you do that, let me tell you something. I don't believe in secret disciples. If you come to Jesus and your sin has been dealt with, you'll want to tell others. You'll want to confess it, just like this woman did. She was confronted. She was confessed. She was changed. It says here, Jesus said to the woman, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." See, this woman's life was changed completely that day. Completely changed. "Thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." This woman hadn't had peace for 12 years because of her illness. We know that because we can see how she's suffered many things. She spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She tried all that she could try because of the problems that she had. So her faith has made her whole. Now she has peace. She had been isolated, ostracized in her community. People really didn't have a lot to do with her. She couldn't come into the temple. Everything had been taken from her. Her wealth, any money that she had, her any pride that she might have had in herself, everything has been taken from her. And now, in just a moment, as she's reached out and she's touched Jesus by faith, her faith has made her whole. And suddenly she has peace that she's never experienced before. She's whole and she's got peace. Can I ask you a question as we come to a conclusion now? Have you been searching for peace? Trying so many different things in this life, looking for peace. Maybe you're feeling alone this evening. I think this woman felt alone. I think as we read the account, we can see that she felt alone. Are you feeling alone this evening? You're feeling that you have no hope. You have no peace. There's no joy in your life. You're just going through the everyday routine day after day. But there's no joy about you. And you have no peace. Can I say to you that Jesus Christ will give you peace? The Lord Jesus Christ will put a joy in your heart that the world can't give you. There's nothing in this world that can give you the joy that you can get through trusting in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus died so that you might live. The Lord Jesus went to the cross to give you eternal life. The Lord Jesus has risen again so that you might have eternal life. Will you come to him tonight? And you know, it's as easy as ABC. Accept that you're a sinner. Believe that Christ died to save you and come and put your trust in him. And he will save you. And you know what? He's promised to save you. No matter what your doubt might be, and you thinking, well, I don't know whether he'll save me or not. Do you know, it's all right for him to say that up there, but how do we know for sure? Well, the Word of God says that he said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That's a cast iron guarantee, not from me, but from the Word of God. And the Word of God is truth. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Will you come? Will you reach out by faith? And will you take what Jesus Christ has to offer and have peace, not just for now, but for eternity? Trust in Jesus.